Hello and welcome to Board Stupid, the podcast that loves talking tabletop, board games, D&D and other awesome stuff. I'm Wayne.
I'm Simon.
I'm Tom.
We're just nerds talking about the things we love that are worth geeking out over. So Simon, are you ready?
I am ready.
Tom, are you ready?
I am always ready.
If you guys are ready, we're going to dig in to this entire year of gaming as we dive into our year-end roundup and what a year it's been. This week, it's our 2022 year-end review. And in this show, we're going to be recapping our entire year of gaming. And that's going to be everything from the events that we've been to our top 10 games of the year and our gaming experiences, and everything that we're looking forward to in 2023 and beyond. So yeah, 2022, what a year!
So many games.
It started 3 years ago. It feels like
it. Yeah. We've done an absolute ton.
We've been desperately trying to make up on the times when we weren't allowed to play games.
I think that's probably
right. Playing extra games.
I think we've done that and then some.
Yes, probably have.
Well, possibly, yeah.
We've all made, well, a long list of what have we played this year?
Yeah.
And then I just kept writing and writing and writing. A phenomenal number of games played, and I am genuinely shocked that it's more than one new game a week.
Oh yeah, even while I'm sitting here, I'm like, oh, and that, and another one.
You guys are going to say something, and I'll be like, how have I not remembered to write that down?
Yeah, we did a whole bunch of stuff, and we've had a bunch of new experiences as a team as well, right? We went to UKGE for the first time as a team. We did a bunch of interviews there, and that was great fun.
Oh boy, yeah, it was so good. So good.
UKGE was awesome. We did a roundup episode on that that you can check out. And then we also did Spiel for the first time, which was a ridiculous event. I mean, it was amazing.
Board Stupid International.
Yeah. It was just sort of, yeah, going from one show that was a big new experience, right, to something that was 3-4 times the size.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. We saw the length and breadth of the board game industry in a microcosm.
It's weird because the back end of this year, I've almost got to the point where I'm going to say it, I feel like I don't need to buy any more new games at the moment because I think I've seen them all. at least for the immediate future.
There's little out that we haven't touched.
I will. Do you know what? I will agree with you. This is the first time I've thought to myself, I wouldn't mind if I didn't get a board game for Christmas. I'd be absolutely happy with that. My collection is large and vast, and I've played so much stuff. And I have access to such great games via you and Simon.
And we've had so many opportunities to play games that are not out yet.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Will not hit shelves for a while. So it's sort of like there's this sort of weird lull now between the games that we can buy and we have played and the games that we can't get hold of yet.
And we have played.
And we have played.
Next year's Spiel. And then we've got Anthony's Connection, which is amazing as well, some of the stuff that he's picked up. So yeah, it's been a cracking year for gaming. Absolutely. So we've all sort of had a think about the things that we've played this year, and we've tried to drag together something of a top 10 each to try and give you an idea of the best gaming experiences that we've had this year. Doesn't necessarily mean that the games have been released in 2022, although we could probably do that together. There'd just be a bit too much crossover, I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that a reasonable proportion of all of our lists are going to be big new hitters that we picked up.
I agree, yeah.
You'll have heard us talk about these on our SN Roundup, and we've possibly even done a We Played episode on some of them already.
Yep.
There's a good reason for that. We've played some awesome games this year.
So. We really have. Before we even start diving into the top 10 then, did you have any sort of methodology for your list, or are you just going, here's 10 things I liked?
I've written down every game I can think of that we played this year, and then gone, which of these do I want to sit down and play again soon?
The most?
Yeah.
Right, I see.
I've done the first part of that. That is to say, I've got a list of everything I know I've played.
So you're going to be the decision when Wayne calls out a number.
When it gets to me, I will give a game with no particular ranking. This is not my top 10 games of the year particularly. It's just...
These are 10 games
that I liked.
Full stop.
It'll be the things that I will... The things I'll recall most readily, I think. And I'll record them most ready because I'll have enjoyed them the most, or they'll have had a big impact.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Mine is pretty much listed in order of the things I really want to play as soon as possible at the top of my list, but also a little bit of the games that I have admired the most. So I've tried to structure it that way.
I'm going to try and give a beyond just, oh, I've played this one the most, or I want to play this one next month. There'll be someone like, critically, as best I can, this is something I really appreciate, even if it's not necessarily the game I enjoyed most.
Yeah, I try to think objectively about the mechanisms I really enjoy and how much I can dig into it. But the this will start to make sense as my top 10 is revealed. The bottom three games are the bottom three, not because I have enjoyed them the least, but because they were released in prior years.
Can I ask a rules question?
Yeah, go ahead.
What about expansions?
Expansions are fine.
Yeah.
You can have expansions.
Cool, I'm going to have expansions.
I'll let you go for that. That's okay.
I'm now wondering which expansion Tom's going.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, wait, no. Of course, it's that one.
Yeah.
it's that expansion. Okay.
Ten! Ark Nova, which I played a couple of times.
Well, I've only had the one play at UKGE, so...
Yes.
I appreciated what I played of it. I need to have a proper go at it to really get a feel for it.
Yeah, it didn't make my list because, again, I've only had the one experience with it.
Ark Nova, for me, is in the same niche as Terraforming Mars.
Yeah.
It's like a big, long-form engine builder slash point salad with a million different things to do, right?
There were so many things on that board.
It was a monster game, yeah.
I love an engine builder game, and I really like things like Terraforming Mars and Ark Nova because you get an opportunity to build your engine and use it for a significant amount of time before the game ends.
Yeah.
Right? Because a lot of engine builder games tend to be quite short on the back end.
Yeah, as soon as you get it going, it ends normally.
Yeah, you don't really build an engine so much as you build like a two-piece combo and then hope for something else before the game ends.
Yeah. It's like my typical example for every game ever is Wingspan.
Yeah.
So as soon as you get your engine built, game is finished.
Game is ended, yeah. And I like building a zoo.
Oh, that's nice. Because, again, I haven't really played it enough, but it's nice to know that the game gives you more of your complete engine. That's good.
Yeah.
Simon, number 10.
I've written my list in a kind of chronological order because
that makes sense.
I went through my photos and wrote them down as I saw pictures of them.
That's fair.
And then remembered all the ones I hadn't taken pictures of. I'm going to throw out what's going to be much further up in your guys' list, I'm sure, Twilight Imperium.
Ah.
I only did that 1 7-hour game with you
guys. that's a normal game of Twilight Imperium.
Yeah.
You've smashed out multiple games of this, and I'm sure you'll cover that shortly.
This year, I think we played 9 games.
That's a lot.
Phenomenal. For a game that is legendary for single play and it sits on the shelf if you get it out once at all.
Yeah.
It was of a scope and scale that still scares me, genuinely. We've played some complicated games. This is on another level just from the sheer size of it in both physical and mental requirement.
It has a massive layer of diplomacy and negotiation, which adds to its complexity, right?
Yeah.
We talked about that in our sort of weight and complexity episode.
There's a
bunch of ways that you'll add weight, and TI4 kind of does all of them.
I'm almost certain that one of you guys is going to go into a bit more detail on this. So I'm mentioning it because it made a huge impact.
Yeah, in terms of...
It's good.
Oh, wow, that's a thing that happened.
It is an experience. Absolutely an experience game.
Yeah.
I think it's a great choice. My number 10, and again, only number 10 because it wasn't released in 2022, so I thought I'll throw that at the bottom, is Escape Plan.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, it's my first ever Vital Lacerda game, and I absolutely love it. It's made me want to kind of get a go at his other games like Weather Machine and Lisboa. And
I saw a photo
Kanban.
Of Weather Machine yesterday.
Oh my God, it looks so complicated.
It looks insane.
It looks terrifying. So yeah, here's the thing. Escape Plan is Vital Lacerda is more like, that's an easygoing Vital Lacerda game.
It is, yeah. When you first mentioned it, because before UKG, when we saw those enormous boxes on that stand at £100 each.
Mars was the other one.
I was like, what is this nonsense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Already being aware of certain other games. And you kind of hyped it up as being this enormous, and Escape Plan, certainly the only one I've played of his, massively accessible as far as I'm concerned,
game,
and deserves to be played again and again and again.
Yeah, I think
we
so.
Played it. Four times in the space of a couple of weeks.
Excellent. Really excellent game. That's my number 10. Great theme, great fun, an accessible Vital Lacerda game. What else is there to say? That's it. That's me for number 10.
Nine!
I'm going to go with War of Whispers.
It's a great game.
The box art that definitely has Darth Vader on the front. It's another one of these games that looks more intimidating on the tin than it actually is. Once you set it up, there's a lot of pieces, right? There's lots of little armies and various tokens and things all over the place and lots of potential actions you can take. But everything is super simple and quick and easy to resolve. You basically just follow a flow chart of actions that goes around the outside of the board, so you always know where you are in the round and what's next. And all of the resolutions, the combats, the movements, everything take all of about 2 seconds.
I think it's a great game. It's a wonderful, I suppose, approach at the Game of Thrones political backstabbery side of war, right? Where you're not really, you don't really care about the armies.
You are not the great houses. You are the bastards behind the great houses pulling the strings.
Manipulating everyone into what you want to achieve.
And it's great because you never know who's really supporting who. You might sort of change your allegiances partway through the game.
That's a really cool little mechanic.
Everyone has secret allegiances in different rankings for each of the houses.
You see how the battlefield's gone after this round. Do you want to switch? You have to show you that. Okay.
That's a very good one. That's a great
Before
choice.
You saw that on the Games Quest stand, were you aware of it? Or is it just an on-site?
I had heard of it before, but as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, actually, yeah, that was on the... Not the short list, but it was on the medium list.
So it definitely drew our eye as a round board. That's cool.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
and then you were like, oh, yeah, I'm going to buy this and the expansion pack. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, very good. Number 9.
I'm going to throw this in here because I feel like it's been a while since I've been able to shout them out. And they are still developing this game, and I don't think you guys ever managed to get to it. Rhino 5, a couple of local guys developing.
Oh, yeah, I meant to give it a playtest. Unfortunately, I missed it.
Yeah, they're expanding and still developing. It looks like they're getting on really well with it. Kind of pandemic-esque in the sense that you've got a shared, messed-up spaceship to save on your group turn. First kind of playtest I've done of a game that's in development. So again, it's stuck in my mind for that reason. As a local guys, they're local to Crawley, so nice to catch up with that. Very interesting to see how they're developing that game and hoping to see more of it soon. They said that I messaged them recently. They said they've got some more stuff coming, hopefully in early next year for us to have a look at.
Very good.
Excellent.
My number 9 is The King's Dilemma, released 2019, low down the list only because of its year of release. And again, I've tried to be fair to the games that were released in 2022 because I played a lot of them. So that's the only reason it's down there. And it was a fabulous experience. And we played that over a course of a few months.
It was about 3 months because we missed a few weeks here and there. But it's been fairly consistent for the last 3 months.
Pretty consistent. King's Dilemma is a legacy experience diplomacy game. It's brilliant.
It's all the best bullshitty bits of the agenda phase of Twilight Imperium,
with
but
nothing
that's
else,
the
basically.
Whole game.
That's the game. Yeah. It's the agenda phase. Yeah. That's basically
It's just the agenda phase. Yeah.
You get a moral dilemma. Someone reads it out, and then you all vote on the outcome. And the outcome is either for the dilemma or against the dilemma. And it could be as simple as, do we buy the cheap bread for the kingdom? Hint, maybe think about that one.
Yeah. We don't want to spoil anything, but
maybe think about that one.
We finished the whole campaign this week. We've yet to do our review episode on it. We're somewhat trepidatious of quite how to structure that because we either go full bore spoilers or we're going to have to be cagey about so many things.
Yeah, and there is so much.
We can talk about the structure of the game without giving away the story, but it's difficult to appreciate what the game is without knowing some of the story beats.
This is going to be on my list somewhere, so I'll discuss it with you now. It was a unique experience for me, much like Twilight Imperium was an absolute maze of a game in terms of trying to work out what your other players might be trying to angle towards.
Oh, absolutely.
Because on the basic look of it, you've got 5 main resources you're looking to adapt. You've got a bit of power to spend, you've got some coin to spend, and an ongoing number of story arcs. Okay, that can't be that complicated. Like, well, yeah, but then you've got secret objectives and you've got an overall arcing storyline you need to get to the end of. Mm. And even when you get towards the end of the game, you don't know how the game's going to end, and finding out what happens. It's choose your own adventure to an epic
level. It's a 5-player choose your own adventure.
And I am
which you play over the course of, I think we played 15 games.
Yeah. Competitively.
Yeah. Competitive multiplayer co-op, maybe not co-op, choose your own adventure.
Desperate great to go game. Back and see what else could have happened.
Yeah, the amount of branching storylines in the game is something to behold. Definitely an experience I don't think I'll ever forget. That's my number 9.
I'm going to go with one that we can't buy yet that we did play. The Fox Experiment.
Yeah, I knew one of you didn't mention it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is from the creator of Wingspan, which we really like. And it's...
Elizabeth Hargrave, yep.
Similar in ways to Wingspan with the sort of engine building, but it's less of a card-based engine builder than it is...
Dice pool
a
builder.
Dice pool engine builder.
It's great.
It's really, really clever. I'm not sure how much it's going to change from the version that we playtested to the release version, but it looked pretty much complete. It felt like a full game.
It felt like the full-on.
And I feel like it would have been a longer game if we hadn't also happened to be paired up with the fastest German in Spiel.
Yeah, he was, Speedy McSpeedpants.
Yeah, we were great.
Yeah, it was great fun. I like that game a lot. It did a lot of really interesting things. The dice pool building was great. The creating the different stats on the foxes was amazing to create your alpha fox or your stud.
Yeah, it's about preservation and breeding of foxes.
Yeah.
Which is, again, I mean, you read the blurb about Wingspan and you're like, what?
Yeah.
But it's a skin, right? But the mechanisms underneath it is very clever.
Just chucking handfuls of dice is always fun.
Yeah, you don't need to be interested in foxes. It's all good.
Yeah. If you like chucking handfuls of dice... It's a good one.
Oh, and you get to name the foxes.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of a roll and write element, which is nice.
I'm going to take to the skies and I'm going to cheat and do two different games.
Okay.
Because I can.
There are no rules.
Yeah. We started the year very early on. One of the first games we played in January was Pan Am.
Pan Am is an excellent game.
A surprise hit from Funko, who I previously was unaware of making any kind of games. They were the Vinyl Pop bobblehead people.
That's right, yeah.
Turns out they make a bunch of games, a number of which are
very good,
pretty damn solid by all accounts.
Yeah, that was another game that we banged out about four or five games more or less back to back.
Pan Am is excellent. It has a really funky auction kind of mechanism, right? Like a bidding kind
it's 11 like, months since I played it, so I'm gonna forget most of the specifics of the rules, but
friendly bidding,
action bidding.
Yeah, you get any failed bids back, which quite often doesn't happen.
Yeah, I want a new bigger plane. Well, you need to get there before someone else does, or pay more for it.
Yeah,
very clever in the way you build the routes and then keep hold of them or sell them off in different ways. And I'm going to pair this with one we played at Essen, which was Airmail.
Airmail was great too.
As we sat down, I thought, this looks very reminiscent of Pan Am. I wonder how similar it's going to play.
Mm. Lots of little planes.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you're building routes, but in different fashions. And this had a very cool mechanic of what the instructor called domino cards.
Dominoes.
You've got this track which slowly builds around the edge, and one or both ends of it are going to be one of a number of colours. And you've got to play one of the cards from your hand with a matching colour to take an action in that region of the map. I thought that was really clever, and lots of different little options you can take to...
Yeah, I probably should have picked up that copy, actually. That's the one I regret not actually buying. I should have done.
I was umming and ahhing at the time, and then I thought, I don't know.
There you go. It's domino matching. That's sort of what we just had with the Wolves when we were talking about the mechanic.
Right, domino matching.
Similar.
Kind of similar in that way. But yeah, Pan Am is great, and it's interesting to compare those two games, Pan Am and Airmail. But yeah, it's a fabulous little game.
Yeah, I think at the time you made the perfectly valid reasoning that you've got Pan Am, why would you want another?
Yeah, it's route building.
I think they're similar enough while still being decidedly different games that you possibly don't want both, unless it's really your
And Pan Am is lighter. Thing. I think it would be easier to get to the table.
Yeah. Mm.
That was my thought. Anyway, but great choice. So number 8 for me, which is Living Forest. Living Forest is super brand new, apparently released in 2021, but we only got to play with it in 2022.
Yeah. I think it must be late 21 if it was.
Yeah. And I think this is probably, and I've said it before on record and I'll say it again, the best value release you're going to find in the last like 5 years,
£23 I got it for,
and what a game for £23. And when I compare that to other games even on this list, this is the best value of all of them,
like easily
by a stretch.
Yeah,
it's an excellent easy to learn but plenty of depth deck builder /
push your luck deck building.
It's really, really cool, and I've not really seen those elements put together before in that way, with a nice little sort of third or tertiary element of this central game board that you're sort of chasing each other around, which
it's
is fun as well.
Magic roundabout in there.
It's
an odd little mushroom circle, wasn't
it? Yeah, that's right.
It's great. It's
it's a fantastic game.
You can entirely ignore it, and if everyone ignores it, it's fine. But as soon as someone starts using the magic circle, it just turns into a mad race.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It has multiple routes to victory, which I like as well. Mm-hmm. The rule of 12, isn't it? You get 12 rule of 12. A thing.
Three tracks that you can potentially win off.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
I enjoyed it, as did apparently a lot of people, because it won the award for the Kennisbill.
It won the Kennisbill, and I think it's a worthy winner. It's not super complicated, especially when compared to Dune Imperium, which is also nominated for the same award. But it's a great, great game. Great value, great production.
It's been a full year since I played Dune Imperium, so I need to get that back.
We need to play it with the expansion.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, yep. It's good.
Yes,
yeah,
please.
Yeah.
That was my number 8.
Seven!
I'm going to go with Endless Winter.
Endless Winter, yeah. Very nice.
Which, well, I've only played once.
The first time was quite recently as well,
wasn't it? Yeah, and it was only recently, and I played a Pokemon Simulator, where I just collected as many animals as possible.
Did you immediately slaughter them, which is what Wayne did?
No, I didn't. So it's a point salad game, right? It's another one of these ones where you can score points in a million different ways. So I decided that what I wanted to do was get as many animals as possible. And then I kept most of them alive, and I picked up the little things that let you score off slaughtered sets. And then I started slaughtering those sets.
Yeah, because you get points for... Yeah. Collection, so effectively.
Yeah, every collection of animals I had, alive or dead, was giving me points.
It was great.
I got almost no points from anything else. I just got points from that. And
I only played that.
Great. I don't think it was that.
It wasn't far away.
It was reasonably close.
It was still very close.
I didn't win, but I had a great time.
Endless Winter is amazing. Mm.
I've only played it that one time. Very much want to play that again.
It's a cracking game, mate. Mm. Released this year as well. Brand new. That was a Spiel pickup and a brilliant one. So that was your number 7. Awesome. Sam, your number 7.
Oh boy, I'm seeing Sentinel Comics RPG that Tom graciously ran for me.
Excellent. Ah, yeah. Not a board game.
Not a board game, really, no.
And it's a gaming experience.
A role-play experience, very comic, I mean, quite literally a comic booky.
Super comic booky. Yeah. It's very four-colour. Well, more Silver Age of comics, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I know comics. Howard, help me. Really fun, great experience, something well outside the realms of D&D, which is essentially my only other role-play experience. Even more freeform in a way. You've got your effectively power words. I want to do something with... I'm electric boy, so I'm going to do anything I can think of that involves electrics.
It's much more sort of narrative and keyword-based.
Yeah.
You know, your power is... telekinesis, or your power is electricity, and then you can sort of define exactly how that works and how you use those powers.
Yeah, you can lean into every trope you can possibly imagine. Yeah. And the way that the characters are generated, although I struggled with it on my phone, once I got the book in front of me, is PC. It almost suggests options for you, like, this will pair well with it.
Yeah, the default character creation is a guided, semi-random creation, and it builds in a chronological fashion. So you start with a character background, who your person was before they had superpowers. Then you work out how they gained superpowers. Then you work out what type of superhero they become with those powers, like an archetype. And then you sort of fill in a personality. So you define building blocks for the character and then find a way to make those work and build the sort of the backstory. I think is wonderful.
It was great fun. So my guy was an undercover cop who... I was trying to stop some weird sci-tech development by some gangster criminal underground thing, and the only way he could stop it was to blow it all up, with him included, and somehow got melded with the tech and therefore became Electric Man.
Nice.
But then was shunned by all his former colleagues for failing to bring the case to a satisfactory close, so he kind of went into hiding as weird electric ex-cop guy, and then he just I'm just some guy who happens to turn up everywhere that help is needed.
Nice. Yeah, it seems like a really interesting RPG system, and based on the Sentinels of the Multiverse, which is a very, at this point, well-developed...
Not real. Comic book universe.
Comic book universe, which is great. My number 7 is the first of the 2022 releases on this list, and it's Foundations of Rome, which is an absolutely magic game. Emerson Matsuchi designed, so same designer as Century, the Century series, and also... Spectre Ops, among other things. Fabulous, fabulous game. So smooth, so elegant, so quick to play. Horrendously overblown production.
Oh, I know. Shout out to Ant from MTVV Podcast for letting us give this a go.
Absolutely.
My God, what a game to behold.
It sits very nicely in his collection, and I'm very glad he owns it, because I can play it.
Yeah.
And I can't spend the significant sum.
Have you had a go at this one, Tom?
I haven't had a chance yet.
I think you'd
really like it.
The most obvious, although not necessarily fair or accurate comparison, is with Chinatown.
Weirdly enough, yeah.
Mm. You're bidding for locations on the grid that is the city that you can then build buildings on.
Yes.
But these aren't cardboard pieces out of a bag. These are full-blown scale resin models.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal production. Absolutely beautiful. And you cannot deny it gives it the most obscenely gorgeous table presence. It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's,
it cannot fail to look good. It's one of those.
It's a beautiful game. And in both ways, both in its presentation, in its production, and also in its mechanisms, which are very Emerson Matsuuchi. It's smooth, it's quick, great fun, worth a play. And if you've got a spare few quid, go buy it. If you can find it.
Spare lots of quid.
Six!
So, from Rome to something considerably smaller, Hamlet.
Hamlet is bloody excellent.
I thought this might be a little higher.
This almost made
They're
my
not
list
in us.
No, I know. They're not in a
It's very difficult.
Same as mine.
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
Hamlet
Rank
is,
your favourite children.
Yeah, Hamlet is... It's a strange little cooperative Hamlet builder or town builder.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You start with what barely qualifies as a village, a hamlet, and you're trying as a group to build a church.
Yeah.
Right? That you can then build your town around. Once the church is completed, the game will end, and there's a nice little thing at the end of the rulebook that basically says whoever's won, once you've built the church, gets to name the town.
Mm-hmm.
You should take a picture of the layout of your town, and you can post it on social media or whatever with the name.
Right? With the name, yeah.
Which is really nice. And it's a deceptively crunchy Euro.
It's very crunchy.
There's very, very little, almost no randomization whatsoever, other than the drafted order in which the tiles come out of the bag for the blueprints.
Your actions are completely deterministic.
Yeah, yeah, very, very deterministic, which I really like. And it's got this sort of interesting...
it's like supply chain building.
It's like Scythe in that the resources are never taken off the map. And you can't really move them around.
Yeah.
So it becomes a supply chain builder. It's about moving. It's about, you know, planning out action economy and having supply chains of donkeys to get the resources that you need into the right places.
To the right places, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Development by shared resource management. It sounds dull and complicated, but
it's great.
Watching it go is great. And with these weird tessellating pieces.
All the tiles are different shapes, so,
so
nothing
weird.
Quite fits together the way you might want it to, or someone puts down a piece and it blocks off part of the map that you wanted to build to.
You've got two established routes in and out of the town to start with, and the first thing somebody normally does is shut one of them off.
Block it.
So you've then got to get stone.
Start building roads.
You've got to put something back to back with it and then get the wood or the stone you need to build the bridge to get into the next piece of land you've built.
Or you sit there producing a load of milk or whatever it is, then some bastard keeps using it before you get the house.
The production quality is great. It comes with a little pop out in insert, which is fantastic.
The production is nuts. You just reminded me. It's so good.
And all the meeples are unique screen prints.
It's a brilliant game. I'm sort of annoyed I didn't put it on my list.
Really good. The only problem I have with it is everything's about sort of 50% smaller than it needs to be.
It's the only criticism, but the game is brilliant. That's a great shout. You're number six.
To the high seas with Libertalia.
Ooh.
I have not played this game anywhere near enough.
Libertalia's good.
I was so excited to get it.
Winds of Galecrest.
Yes, it's the rejigged version via Stonemaier Games.
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous production, really fun gameplay. Quick description, everyone starts with the same six crew cards. And you choose one on your turn to do a thing. If someone else has chosen the same one, that's fine. You go in reputation order. And then it runs back down the order of cards played to get a different effect in the evening of the game turn. Mm. But then at the end of the round, you played three cards out of the six. The three you haven't used, you will have for the next round. So it starts with everyone on the same page, and then everyone
starts with the same hand, but then people have played cards, so they don't have those cards anymore.
Yeah.
And you can maybe remember what people haven't played, but then people get new cards, and you start to lose track of what they still have.
If they've got the necromancer, you can get one back from the graveyard, and then they might have the captain back in hand, which has got a really cool power, but only if they get it played in the right order.
Yeah.
Very cool, and some gorgeous little treasure
cards. Sort of, yeah, there's a bit of bluffing and guessing what other people are going to do.
That's right.
Bluffing out the reputation order, right? Yep. The order in which the actions are going to resolve, because it's really critical. It's very, very cool.
Bluffing, second guessing, beautiful production, and lots of messing with your opponents, trying to get the most treasure during each trip. Very smart little game.
Kind of almost vindictive levels of...
it's very interactive.
Oh, you played that card, have you? Okay, fine.
it's a highly interactive game, that's for sure. That's for sure. Great pick. My number six is Sniper Elite.
Oh, I've forgotten that one.
Yeah. Sniper Elite is an absolutely fantastic, relatively simple one versus many game, where one person is the sniper and the rest of you are Nazis, which is both hilarious on the table for the banter.
You can't resist doing a German accent.
No, you can't. No. And yeah, exactly. And you can't not enjoy taking out a few Nazis when you're the sniper. So it's a fantastic, fantastic hidden movement one versus many game, where the, I suppose, squad-based approach to the Nazi side is very, very smart and very clever. You have three squads that all have different, slightly different abilities via their leader.
Yeah, I mean, the many control lots of pieces.
That's right.
And, but
they're very weak.
Individually weak lots of pieces that you have to try and maneuver into the right locations.
That's right. Yeah, and the sniper is potentially very deadly.
It's almost classic movie grunt wandering around with a range of vision of 12 feet.
Yeah.
And then the sniper is Jason Bourne. Like, oh, okay.
Knocking people out left, right, and centre. It's great because when you're the sniper, yes, you want to shoot people, but at the same time when you do, it gives your opponents information as to where you might be, because it has this lovely little bag-building mechanism where when you take a shot with your sniper rifle, you want to pull out a number of tokens from your bag equal to the distance of your target. So if you successfully hit, then the Nazis will know not exactly where you are, but they'll know how far away you might be.
Yeah, very clever. Lots of deduction to be done.
Yes.
Very intense, but in a good way.
Yeah, definitely. So that is my number six. And moving into the number fives.
Five!
Number five. I think it's this year. Quacks of Quedlinburg.
Very nice. I think it was
on my list.
I'm pretty sure it's this year.
It
was last year's winner, but I think I only picked it up early this year.
New to us this year.
I played it loads and loads of times since I bought it, and I bought it, and I think we played it sort of two or three times, and then Wayne went immediately bought it as well.
And I played it an absolute butt ton.
Yeah.
I mean, an absolute load.
It's super easy to get to the table and teach people. It's really easy to introduce to people who are not necessarily into big complicated board games. It plays relatively quickly. It's got a fun bag building push your luck mechanism that doesn't necessarily require a lot of skill, and it's really fun and plays very differently every time you play it.
Absolutely. You get a ton of different content in the box, which is great.
Yeah, super approachable, almost Disney-esque style in its design, and I think open to all ages and all types of people, I think, 'cause it's so easy to pick up.
Yeah, and you can mix and match the various different ingredients that do different things, and you can tailor them. I mean, you can randomize them, or you can tailor them for the audience, right? If you're playing with people
simpler or more complex ones.
Yeah, you can play a simpler setup if you're playing with kids or something, right?
Yeah.
Or with people who are not really into board games. Or you can do a really horribly complicated sort of cascading setup where you try and come up with a really weird combination of ingredients and then see if it works out. It's great.
That's a real good one. It's one that looks initially intimidating because there's like a ton of little bits.
Yeah.
But once you get past that initial sort of barrier of, okay, here's what all the ingredients do, the game is super easy. And once you finish, you immediately want to play it again.
Yeah, and then you live in fear of the white three chip.
it's awful, isn't it?
It's always there in your
hand.
And
why is it always there? I've got 30 chips in my bag. How do I pull this one out every freaking
it's
time?
It's fine. Just pull one more, Wayne. Mm-hmm. Just one. Just all you need. Just all you need.
Just one more. Gosh. Good choice. Simon, you're number five.
Oh, boy. I'm going to do a roll and write mashup here because I can.
Hey, cheating again. Okay.
We're running out. So Simon's doing like five at a time now.
Yeah, fair enough. Play too many.
Oh, there's so many. So... Railroad Inc, Wayne, you introduced me to this one.
Great game.
I got my copy of this in the recent Black Friday sale for a tenner.
Nice, cheap as well.
You can't go wrong with a game for 10 quid, really.
There's how many versions of this game?
A ton.
There's two main versions, red and blue.
Yep.
Yellow and green are the two main add-ons.
Yep.
And then there's seven small expansions.
It's nuts.
One of which has Cthulhu nonsense, so you can grow tentacles and portals across your landscape.
Brilliant. Railroads and tentacles.
Of course. Why not? It's a cracking little rolling right, that.
So good. I'm going to... I don't want to step on your toes because I think it might come up.
You can stop there if you want to.
Cause... Well, there's Vengeance Roll and Write as at least one of the others on my list.
That was good fun.
Yeah.
That's another good one. But yeah.
Just as a concept, I'm new to Roll and Writes this year. So there are a few. I picked up Trek 12, which I still haven't played 6 months later because there's just too many more games to come. But yeah, the concept of Roll and Write games as generally small size. We're ignoring Twilight. It's Inscription. It's nonsense.
They didn't get the brief.
No, they did not get the brief.
So small, tight package games, generally easy to pick up. And repeat play.
Yeah.
Not too serious. And I think those two. Railroad Inc.
My number five is Longshot the Dice Game.
There we go.
Was that the one that was going to be? Longshot the Dice Game was one that I bought on a whim after seeing a review of it. And I went, oh, this sounds pretty cool. It came out this year. It's super new. I then took it with me to Austin on a work trip. And I had such a ball teaching the people that didn't really play board games. Took it to the pub. And it ended up people standing up, shouting at their horses. Because you've got a few beers in you, it gets a bit rowdy.
Yeah. I can see that happening.
It is an absolute riot. It's an absolutely brilliant game that I would like to play over and over again. You can get it to the table pretty easily. It's not super complicated. It has a wonderful blend of roll and write and sort of racing game and betting game. It's sort of these three things smashed together. Did you play it at all, Tom?
No, I haven't tried it yet.
Oh, dude.
You're going to really like it.
I like most games.
It's very silly. It's very fun. Plays in about half an hour. And you played it for the first time, I think, on Monday, right? Or last Monday.
I've played it a couple of times now, yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
It's such good fun. It's not just, I pick a horse and I hope it wins.
Yeah.
It's, I pick a horse, I hope it wins, but I might bet on another one just in case.
Just in case, or I might buy that horse.
And
or
then
I can
play number bingo to gain an upgrade and push the leader back three spaces.
Yeah.
And then bet on it anyway. Or
yeah, some great stuff. Really, really smart. So relatively cheap, lovely production, easy to teach. And great fun to play, and it will play pretty much any number of players pretty well, up to about eight people, which is insane.
Yeah,
yeah, really, really good. Okay, that is my number five.
Four. Yeah, we're starting to get to some of the big boxes.
We're getting to the nitty gritty stuff here.
Actually,
now.
I mean, most of my remaining games are giant boxes.
Surprise.
So number four. Number four is Eclipse Second Dawn.
Okay, that's a good one. Yeah,
which is one of those games that I originally planned to get before I picked up Twilight Imperium. And that was very difficult to get hold of at the time, and it was subsequently reprinted.
Mm-hmm.
So I managed to pick it up when we were at
UKGE.
Mm. And then at Spiel, I managed to get hold of all of the Kickstarter bits, all the exclusive stuff, because the guys that made the game were at Spiel. And they were basically just selling off all the spare Kickstarter exclusive bits that they had.
I was so lucky.
Which was brilliant.
What a great find as well.
Are
we going to play that next week?
It does occupy a bit of the same niche as Twilight Imperium, but it's...
It's a Euro, though. It's not really the same.
It's more Euro. It's more focused on... I think it's more focused on the exploration side, and it's more focused on ship customization, fleet customization, and technology customization. Whereas Twilight Imperium is a lot more... I
feel like it's a lot more area control and
objective chasing, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So they do share a bit of the same spectrum.
I think they're very different games.
But they are very different games once you've had a chance to play them a couple of times.
They are very different. I mean, at initial view, you might think, oh, yeah, hex-based space game.
Mm. Yeah,
they're completely different.
On the table, they look so similar to start with. And then you get an inkling of what they're about and totally different.
Yeah,
and
very, very different.
Eclipse is by far my preferred of the two.
I've got some nice little flight stands for all the custom ships because every fleet has its own unique ships.
It's the production in that game is nuts as well. I love Eclipse.
Game trays, game tray storage solution. All of the players' bits come in a single tray, and then the tray ends up being your scoring track and your resource management tracks for the game. It's just so thoughtfully designed.
We're aiming to play that next week, hopefully, or very soon. So dead keen to do that. I mean, a lot of this stuff we still haven't done. We played episodes before, so we're going to have to do those as well. So there's a ton of content we've got to do next year, chaps. Anyway.
People are probably listening to this. Like, they've all played a game, new game each a week.
Pretty much.
They've only released 17 episodes this year. What are they doing? Sorry, guys. We're too busy.
Unfortunately, we're playing the game. We're playing
too busy enjoying ourselves.
Exactly, yes. Sorry. So that's a cracking one. Good. That's a good one. Good number four. And Simon, you're number four.
I've finally numbered the final four because I'm just constantly staring at this list going, there's so many games. There's so many games.
So many.
I'm going to throw out Heat, Pedal to the Metal.
Heat is an amazing, amazing racing game. Probably the best racing game I've ever played.
What was the name of the other one? I forgot about it.
Downforce.
Excellent racing game.
I really like Downforce
Very
as well.
Different racing game though.
You've played Heat with us though, Tom.
Yeah, I played Heat when we were at Spiel. I have not played the full version.
Okay. Yeah, we still need to explore more of the character customization type option for that.
It was a very simple version that we played.
Yeah, we played it very dumbed down.
I liked what I saw, but I wanted more complexity, and I gather that actually the real game is more complex, so that's great.
It is.
Oh, it's so good. I don't think I've really played many racing games of that ilk, and this would be my absolute number one recommendation if you're looking for a race game. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be particularly into Formula One. I can't say I am. This is more of a classic.
Yeah,
60s, 50s.
Yeah, more like 30s to 50s, actually. Yeah, car racing. Yeah,
that very kind of golden era, you know, goggles and a leather crashed helmet. That's right.
That's right. It's got a wonderful production. It's Days of Wonder, who do one game a year, and it's typically stupendous. And this is a stupendous racing game. An amazing sort of hand management type game.
It's great.
Very, very good. A tiny little bit of pusher luck in there as well, and sort of resource management with the sort of heat cars that you're burning up to try and do, you know, more stuff.
I think in my next game, I think I'm going to have to try and just go full bore.
Yeah.
Use it all.
It's interesting, yeah. The risk reward on the hand management, right?
It's very, very, very clever. Smart.
Yeah,
Heat is an amazing game. And that's actually a crossover as my number four is Heat. So Heat, Pedal to the Metal. Anthony has a copy of this. I don't have it because I own Downforce. Although I do think they do share different spaces, Downforce is a much simpler game. Heat is a much more complex game, and is a very, very bloody good one. I mean, it's just great. It's a great racing game, probably the best one you can buy right now.
Yeah, Downforce is almost crossing over with Longshot in the way that I move, but also they move.
That's right, and with the betting as well.
You're less...
You're not necessarily controlling an individual car.
You are the racer.
That's right.
You're feeling the stress, you're burning your car, or you're not. The other two, Downforce, is like, oh, well, my preferred car, I'll try and get in the lead, but there'll be inevitable.
It's more like
you're
disconnected owners of shares in these cars, you know. But we played a game at Anthony's place from MTVB. Again, shout out again for letting us play it. And it was tense the whole time.
It was just so close.
Yeah.
You, I think, melted your engine at one point.
And still ended up, like, kind of near the end.
We were trying to explain to Scott how heat worked. And it's an interesting explain if you don't initially get the idea. It's
not the simplest game to explain.
It's a limited resource to spend if you can risk it kind of thing, rather than, no, you need to get this out. Like, no, you can play without it almost.
You can, but you're not likely to win.
No, quite. Yeah. We'll do a full dive when we get a couple more games in.
We will, and we're going to have to replay it back because it's excellent.
Three! I picked up a role-playing game called Lancer
earlier this year, which I have to extol the virtues of. It's by some guys called Massive Press. Mm-hmm. They're a US sort of small indie developer. And it came out last year. I think it was early last year. And it was a Kickstarter, and it was like a little niche game. But I was sort of looking around for other role-playing games, as I tend to do, because I like to try and indoctrinate people into trying stuff that is outside of the D&D 5e sphere.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really like games with very crunchy tactical combat, because I really like board games that have the same sort of thing. And I found some recommendations for Lancer, and it sort of was this sort of perfect Venn diagram overlap between D&D 4th edition crunchy tactical combat, light narrative out of combat role-playing, and giant robots in space, which I fucking love mechs.
I'm all about giant robots in space.
Well, that sounds great fun.
Give me an Evangelion.
So on top of it being like this wonderful sort of Venn diagram overlap, it has native... it has a native companion app that was released by the company at the same time that they released the game. So there is an online companion app that is free.
Nice.
The rules for players are free.
Very nice.
In PDF. Anyone can download them. And the companion app is absolutely bloody brilliant, and it puts D&D Beyond to shame.
Okay, and you said this, you can use it to like track initiative and run, basically run the battles,
right? You can use it to track everything. You can use it to run the game, you can use it to build NPCs, you can use it to build encounters, run missions. You can pull all of the players' characters into the mission runner and see them live with all of their statuses. It's just ridiculously good.
But doesn't make it feel like a video game then at that level?
A little bit, but because it's a crunchy tactical game, it requires a fair bit of micromanagement.
Sure.
But without feeling like it really, really bogs you down, because you don't need to remember everything, because everything is tracked for you.
Nice.
And all of this, like, you know, if you take, for example, like D&D feats, all of the benefits of those feats that you pick for your character, the synergies automatically carry across to the corresponding attacks and abilities that you do. Uh-huh. Everything automatically talks to the things that it interacts with.
That's cool.
So you don't have to remember it. And it's just... I was just absolutely blown away by how well designed it was.
Simon, you're number three.
None of you guys have mentioned it yet. Unsurprising, it's going to be right up there. Starship Captains.
Starship Captains is... fantastic.
What a standout game this is.
I didn't put it on my list because I knew one or both of you would say it.
Yeah, there's that thinking with when there's three of us, like, well, someone's going to mention it.
Yeah, yeah. By first
and there's
time,
too many other options.
Yeah, by first time designer, David R. Bogdu. Sorry. No. Sorry. Sorry, Peter. Peter. Sorry, Jim. Philip.
Captain Hofgaard.
Philip K. Dick.
Philip K. Dick, that's right. Peter B. Hofgaard. I eventually remember his name.
If you, we won't shut up about this if you let us. Full episode available if you want to hear all the details. In short, you're trying to keep afloat a somewhat destroyed starship whilst you tit about in space trying to complete missions with the right coloured people that you can retrain, send on warp drives, attack with pirates, put inside mech suits to become tin cans or all kinds of other nonsense, honestly, and it's such good fun.
It's a great, fun, easily accessible game. I think it's a wonderful choice. That's a cracking number three. I'm going to go in at number three because I own Starship Captains, but you own Skate Summer.
Yeah.
And Skate Summer is my number three, and it's just absolutely magic. And the more I thought about it, the higher it went up my list. I think it's another first-time designer.
Yep, Randy Ryman.
Randy Ryman. And it's brilliant. It has push your luck, which is featured on a few of our lists, actually, in a few different ways.
Relatively new mechanic in games.
Picked up a few push your luck games this year, actually.
Yeah, and it's a really cool implementation of that. And I don't think you've played it yet, and it's bloody...
No, I would like to.
It's another bloody good one. What a great way to implement skateboarding, right? You're doing lots of tricks, but the more tricks you do, the more likely you are to bail and eat the concrete. It's brilliant. Using cards in a special, interesting way, and then using those same cards to then navigate your way around the city to collect the Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, you know, school bells and spray cans and stuff like that.
Yeah, the bullshit hidden for things points. That yeah, give you points. Yeah,
exactly. And it's
just, it
fabulous.
Embodied the feel of that so well.
Yeah, in a really light, enjoyable way, yeah.
And again, really just good. Stood out. I'm going to jump ahead of Tom starting. It was my number two.
Ah, okay.
So,
okay,
yeah, just...
Crossover for you on number two.
One of a number of Pandasaurus games this year.
Mm.
Just
I completely forgot the name. What was the other one that we played at Spiel?
Wildstyle.
That was great.
That's another great game.
Skate Summer and Wildstyle as a pairing, as some kind of
share
special
palette,
bundle,
right?
Would be amazing. Similar in concept and design in a way, in that they've got this large city that you're
in
traversing.
Vibe, for sure. Certainly in vibe. It's
yeah,
great.
And we spoke to Rainer at Essen, and she agreed that they're managing to just hone in on this kind of vibe that, while their games are diverse, they all seemingly share, not necessarily a strict aesthetic, but...
There's a certain art direction, right?
You can look at it and, you know, Pandasaurus, I now make up probably 20% of my entire game collection, which is growing to a reasonable scale. Nothing compared to you guys, but I'm having to shuffle stuff to make shelf space.
They make great stuff, and then this year they've hit out the park.
Skate Summer is, again, kind of unique in its field. I couldn't name another skateboarding game.
No, and it...
Which is amazing, considering how popular it is, or certainly was.
It's both very fresh and nostalgic at the same time. It's great. Really excellent. Excellent stuff from Pandasaurus. Great production, great game. That was my number three, Skate Summer.
Two!
Another big box and recent arrival, finally.
Mm-hmm.
ISS Vanguard.
Oh, I thought this might pop up.
Yeah, it's definitely in there.
Is this really a game, or is this some kind of... epic. I don't even know.
It's a big campaign game.
Yes.
Yeah, and after the initial sort of excitement about legacy games and campaign games, I sort of picked up one or two in the past, and then I sort of lost interest in them.
It's finding the time, isn't it?
It's like, very difficult.
Yeah.
But I have made time for ISS Vanguard because it really appeals to me in terms of the aesthetic. And the design of it is amazing.
It's a wonderful production.
It's by Awakened Realms,
mm-hmm.
Of, you know, Nemesis,
Tainted Grail,
Etherfields.
Yeah, you know, those.
They did Castles of Burgundy rejig recently
as well.
Yeah, giant, sort of gorgeous production games. Interestingly, the core version of the game comes with very few miniatures. It's not a miniatures heavy game, although you can buy miniatures for it. I didn't bother.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not really what the game is about.
Yeah, having played it, I'd almost say that the character minis themselves are almost
just representative.
It's
interesting. The game is essentially doing exploration and shipboard upgrades, investigations, a little bit of pick your own adventure, planning out your crew and training them up. And then when you get to a destination and you've sort of uncovered this place that you're going to go to, which is the next step in the campaign story, you then assemble a team of people from your crew. You know, from your crew of, say, 20 people, the ones that you think will fit the best for that particular mission, and you send them on away missions.
And you've got like a whole ton of ship management stuff as well.
The away missions become like a different game where you play mostly dice management and manipulation.
Dice management, and it's a very clever dice management system. A bit of push your luck.
A little bit of push your luck.
Yep.
It's very elegantly designed in that all of the mechanisms key off how the dice work.
Mm-hmm.
With relatively little additional sort of bolted on superfluous mechanisms to complicate it. So even as the missions get more complicated in terms of how difficult they are to complete, you don't gain a bunch of new mechanisms that make it overwhelming to keep track of everything. We have called it administration the game.
It is a lot of admin. It's a beast.
But it's part of the game.
Yeah.
The setup of the game and the ship management and everything plays almost directly out of a rule book.
Yeah.
The rule book is a binder into which you install
cards for your crews and your upgrades. So every time you sort of start a new mission, you just pull out the binder and you follow the steps, except every time the steps are slightly different because you've picked up new stuff to explore.
It's very clever, very detailed. And
very it's detailed. For me, yeah, yeah.
It managed to come across as that a different kind of feel to definitely something like, I'm just trying to think of all the different space games and alien type games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not a I'm a jacked commando, Project Elite or Nemesis style.
No.
It's not I've got a gigantic ship from which to blast everything. It, Twilight Imperium
it
style.
Makes me think Mass Effect, basically.
Or early,
that's how it feels.
Early Doors, Prometheus.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, no, we're just a research team.
We are not
all guns blazing anything. We are lucky to get off the planet.
Yeah, it feels more like that. Yeah, absolutely.
And it really gave me that feeling of, are you sure you want to go down that toxic pit?
Yeah.
Just because there might be some cool mineral in there.
And it comes with a fully voiced companion app.
Which is amazing,
by the way. It's all voice acted, and it's really good.
Yeah, it's good.
To not just save you from doing all the reading, you know, and is not something nice to listen to, but it does a lot of the sort of admin of tracking all the logs and things like that for you in the background, which is nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, very good.
Mm.
Simon, you're number two.
My two was Skate Summer,
uh-huh,
which we've discussed, so I'm going to, as a 2.5, with fresh off a gameplay of The Wolves, which arrived this week. Haven't played it enough to be able to put it on the list.
He's going
to
give it a brief cheeky mention.
It could go on the list. Oh. I really liked it.
Again, can't say enough about Pantasaurus at the moment. Wild Style, Fox Experiment, Skate Summer,
The Wolves. Brilliant game as well.
Just
Wolves is awesome.
Kicking ass. I'm hyped to play more of The Wolves, and it will for sure be on a top 10 list for a while, I reckon.
My number two is a crossover with Tom. It's my big box chili game of Endless Winter Paleo Americans.
Mm.
Yeah, dude.
It's just... And again, this was a game that I think I've now played, I want to say, 5 times, and has grown on me even more each time. I loved it the first time I played it, and I was just playing it solo a couple of times to get the hang of it. And then I played it with 2 people, then I played it with 3 people, then I played it with 4 people, then I played it with 3 people again, and it's just incredible. It's so deep, and everything interacts in that game so wonderfully well.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many moving parts, but it never feels overwhelming. Once you know the rules, it's like, okay, I do this, and then this happens, and then I get this little bonus, or I move up this track, or I get this thing, or I take that animal. It just sort of happens. It's quite procedural in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is, and in a very good way.
Yeah,
some games are procedural, and like, oh, I'm kind of stuck in a routine. This is still a lot of options.
Yeah, you get a ton of options. There is no sort of blocking off like in traditional worker placement games. You're always able
to
do the thing you want to do.
It's quite easy to pivot. Yeah, I did notice that it seemed to be relatively easy to switch to a different track, right?
Yeah. There's a benefit for going first in certain things from what I remember.
There is,
right?
Yeah. You'll get a benefit if you can be first in the initiative track. You'll typically get slightly better bonuses when you get to each sort of in-between phase, the sundown, or was it the eclipse phase, sorry. It has a really smart little deck-building element, a very generous deck-building element, where you can just rifle through your deck really nicely. Easy ways to sort of cull average tribesmen out of your deck and replace them with better cards.
That's quite often something that sort of slows down the deck-building games, is it's quite difficult to thin it out again. But you can
almost
freely just murder people in your tribe and bury them.
Discard for a thing, all right.
just stick it in your honourable dead pile, and you'll get points for that.
You get
just
points
like
for killing
your people. You're
encouraged
to do it. Yeah. So it's a phenomenal game, a big box game, beautiful production, great game trays, inserts. It's a complex, heavy Euro, but we definitely need to do a wee play to that at some point. But 100% my number two of the year, and I'll play it anytime. That's my number two. Endless Winter, Paleo Americans.
One!
There's no prizes, and it's my only expansion on the list. It's Twilight Imperium Prophecy of Kings.
There wasn't enough of that game,
more to add to Twilight Imperium.
Absolutely, because that game needed more stuff.
It went from 17 factions to 24,
right?
I think it is. And then they've added one more. I've got all the codexes for it as well, which add various extra things and rebalance the cards. And I've got an insert for it now, so everything fits in one big box, and various
which
upgrades
and
little
forklift
fancy stands and and a big mat to play on. And yeah, I've spent quite a lot of money on Twilight Imperium.
Have you got the table to play it on?
You will, I will soon have, hopefully, have a table where you can set it up and leave it set up all the time.
Yeah.
Are you reckon it was going to sit in the well?
It will fit in the well. Yeah.
Good.
So, yeah, Twilight Imperium, Prophecy of Kings. We have played, I think with Prophecy of Kings, we've played 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
And it improves the game in almost every way. For me.
Especially on the exploration part.
It massively improves the exploration part. And I love all the new factions, and I love the rebalancing and the sort of like the live game element that, you know, they've made an effort to rebalance the factions and
update. They always bring
the
out sort of codexes and stuff, don't they, all the
time. Three codexes. Yeah,
which is good.
They continue to support the game.
Which is great.
6-7 years after it came out now, I think it is.
It's admirable. It really is.
Not long ago.
I'm trying to remember. I think it was
2015, I want to say.
I think it was about 2015 it came out, the latest edition.
Oh, boy.
So it's well supported, has a ridiculous amount of content, and yeah, it's just...
2017.
17.
4 years, though.
So 5 years.
Five, as we come into 2023.
Yeah.
There you go. I can't count. 5 years ago.
Yeah, and I can't, as always, I can't wait to play again. It's just a case of trying to get people to the table, and soon I will have the table to bring people to against their will.
And you've had no shortage of willing participants, as it were.
Surprising, isn't it?
Like I said, we managed to get in, we played 9 essentially games. Monthly up to and including September.
I look forward to my invite on your brand new table next year.
Only the last couple of months we haven't had a chance to play because it's been much busier in the run-up to Christmas, and we've been playing other stuff.
We went to a foreign country. Yeah, well, you two have been to multiple other countries in the last couple of months.
Just been busy. So I absolutely can't wait to play again.
January, mate. Get it in.
So
I want to play on your fancy table.
So easily at the top of my list because I just... because it is... such an experience to play every time.
That's a great shout.
And Simon?
I expect my number one's going to be similarly obvious to those that know me, which is Cascadia.
Cascadia, what a game.
Oh my goodness, what a game.
Spiel des Jahres winner. This year's Spiel des Jahres.
It's about as far away from Twilight Imperium as you can get.
Yeah, talk about the length and breadth of
really
gaming.
It really is. I saw this in the comic shop on the shelf, and I looked at it, and I thought, that looks interesting. And then I left.
Uh-huh.
And then I came back, as I do on a regular occasion, to the comic shop, and it had sold, and I went, oh, I'd have been interested to have another look at that. And then they got another copy in stock, and I thought, £35, that's in my price range generally. I'm going to give this a go, and oh my God, am I happy I picked this up.
You've played that probably more than anything else this year, I'd have thought.
I've played it a bunch, mostly two-player with my girlfriend. Taken it into work, brought it to you guys.
Yeah.
Taken it to my girlfriend's family, introduced them.
I borrowed
it.
I played it a ton. Like,
it is so good. Relatively small box game. I can explain the basic concept of the game. You pick up a terrain tile, put it on your existing terrain. You pick up a wildlife token, and you put it somewhere in your landscape. There you go. Your turn.
Yeah. You pick a pair of things and put them somewhere and build a little. Build your own little map, right?
The scoring intricacies take, granted, a minute longer to explain, but it's so elegantly designed.
It's a beautifully
elegant
game. It looks
amazing. And I am... I'm not saying, oh, look at me, I picked it up before it won the awards, aren't I clever?
Aren't you clever?
But it's drafting
I mean, this is my first year where I've come anywhere close to...
Yeah.
Getting in early on stuff.
To
have got in early on so many things come out.
Literally
gone,
at the bleeding edge in some cases,
Which it just feels incredible, really. And I just would play this game forever.
It's an amazing game. It's certainly worth the number one in anyone's list for 2022's games of the year. Brilliant. Worthy Spiel des Jahres winner. Can play it with anybody. It's wonderful. I recommended it to a colleague in Austin, and she, without knowing it, without having heard of it, she went out and bought it.
Oh, fantastic.
And loves it. So, and it's excellent. Great appeal. Great game. My number one will be of no surprise. I've already said this. I think it's my game of the year, and it's Starship Captains. It's brilliant. I'll just quickly underline some of the things you said there, Simon. It has a great sense of exploration and fun, and it isn't too weighty. And we talked about
all.
We talked about it a lot in our Wii Play that you can go and check out, and I recommend that you do while we all extol the virtues of it. It's a wonderful, wonderful game. Keeps me wanting to play it. Literally, if anyone suggests you want to play Starship Captains, I'm like, yeah. Because we can play that in an hour, hour and a half, and it's a blast.
Mm-hmm.
Loads of options, not too heavy, thinky, but not overly so.
Yeah. Mechanically simple enough, but so many ways to get to stuff.
Yeah, that... whips around the table. It has all those things I like in games. Do one thing and do the effect.
Do the thing, join a queue.
Join the queue, exactly.
I love a queue.
Join the queue, mate. Innovation of the year, mate. Queue system.
Queuing.
Calling it, mate.
Queuing in a board game. Love it.
Wow, that's not much crossover. I mean, there could have been more, I think, but I went with
I changed my gut.
I think we've artfully stepped around what we know is each other's potential favourites.
But there's some good stuff in there, folks. I mean, really huge.
Yeah, as I said at the top, I've literally played, on average, a new game every week this year.
It's crazy.
Which shouldn't be possible.
We've done a lot, and we've got lots to come. So that's our top 10 lists. I'm going to quickly dive over and just... we'll rapidly move into some of the things that you're looking forward to coming up in 2023 and coming up for the podcast as well. And I think I want to lead off with one thing, which is the chance to play a few games sent to us by publishers. That's a big first for the podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm dead keen to do that, both to see what the games are about, and they're very exciting games.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I'm super happy that it came about, and thank you to those that have sent. It's a great opportunity for us, and I think it's going to be interesting to play games that we aren't literally invested in.
Yes.
Because every game we play, we know is going to... Well, we hope is going to be awesome, because we bought the damn thing.
We do the research, we buy the game.
But that's not to say that every game that we buy is necessarily a great game. No, and sometimes
there's been plenty of those that I've bought that have been terrible. But then there's also... Dark Omen, that project.
Ooh.
I think the guys mentioned they'd ping us out a copy, and fingers crossed that they do, because I'd love to give that a crack as well. So if you're listening, chaps.
Unfortunately, we didn't have 3 hours to sit down and play it on the day when we found it, and I think they were literally wrapping up because it was a Sunday afternoon when we found it.
But if you are listening, chaps, please do send us a copy. Yeah,
we'd love to try it.
It totally looks like our kind of game. It's got multi-levels literally on the board. It's a multi-layered thing, but also just levels of gameplay, storytelling, all kinds of cool stuff. The art direction, and they've posted today about their love of, we are using an actual artist again. I've not really paid much attention to this whole AI bot thing that's going about. Yeah,
there's a lot of controversy at the moment.
Yeah, make your NFTs on an AI, and I don't know. Anyway, proper artists doing proper work, and super excited to see more on that.
So I'm thrilled for us to get a chance to do some of that stuff, getting publishers sending us some stuff to take a look at, and we're happy to do so. That's one thing I'll lead off with, but anything you're specifically looking forward to, Tom?
Because it hasn't arrived yet, my bloody table.
God, please.
It should be early in the new year. It should be January, but
that's days away.
Days away, really. A couple of weeks.
Yeah, my Geek & Sons Archie table is due to arrive early in the new year. It's the fancy modular one with all the boxes that you can take out, and you can raise the middle or put it down, so you've got an adjustable well. It's got all the bells and whistles.
The table is a game in itself.
Yes. I'll join you. I've got a big fancy table coming too. Yeah. But a bit later than Tom's, though, and slightly less fancy.
I agonised for hours on the floor with a tape measure in my dining room.
You
trying
just
to
the
work
big,
out.
You just ordered the biggest possible
I did,
one.
I ordered the biggest one, and I might have to take all of the other furniture out of the dining room
and
to get
knock
it to
a wall
fit
through.
But I will probably have this table longer than I will be in that house.
Probably, yeah.
Okay, so instead of go big or go home, it's go big and move home.
And go big, move home, plan around the table.
Excellent stuff.
Yeah.
So anything else that sticks out of your mind? What are you looking forward to?
Definitely had Dark Omen on the list. There's cool stuff to come.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me reeling off a short list of Kickstarter projects or other things I've seen that we may or may not have mentioned... off the back of Cascadia, designer Randy Flynn's new game, Tabriz, recently very successful on GameFound. I didn't back it in the end, but it looked very, very cool. sequel to King's Dilemma that we've all very much enjoyed. The Queen's Dilemma is coming out. Again, we're probably waiting to retail on that one, but...
Probably will give it a go.
It feels almost inevitable, having enjoyed it.
If it offers some of the same experience again, I would definitely consider it strongly.
Price point was kind of up there, but we, I think, decided if we get the same group together, it's like £20 each.
We'd think chip in on that.
Cool.
Archon are continuing great gusto with all of their Dungeons and Lasers product, all of their miniatures and so on. Their next one, apparently, is going to be Heroes and Villains, and the CEO mentioned on a recent live stream it may have upwards of 400 miniatures.
Bloody hellfire.
No one needs that. Yes, I'm going to buy it. I am waiting with bated breath for the Kickstarter for Joyride from Rebellion Unplugged, creators of Sniper Elite.
It's on my list.
Elder Scrolls, I mentioned this in our SN Roundup from Chip Theory, is looking amazing.
Yes.
Keesling and Kramer, the designs of Azul, have got Amygdala.
Amygdala, the multicoloured crazy game, yeah.
Ben, backed from Fantasia Games, makes of Endless Winter.
It's a Freud game?
Unconscious Mind. That's so right. Freud and friends diving into dreams and trying to work out new therapies. It looks top notch.
What a great idea.
It looks almost Lacerda levels of design.
Nice.
So, well excited for that. And we've mentioned Pansaurus a bunch already, Fox Experiment. Yes. I didn't get to play, you guys really enjoyed it. I will be all over it, I think, when that comes out. It looks amazing.
Can we put on the list of things to look forward to Mind Management?
Yes.
Which has arrived, but we've not played yet.
I'm dead keen on that. I cannot wait to play that.
That'll probably be the new year now, right?
Yeah, that'll be a new year, I'd have thought. For sure, Mind Management.
We got tons of stuff still to play. I've got Gigawatt finally arrived.
Yes.
Mm.
Looks great.
And the components look amazing, actually.
I need to learn it, but yeah, it's got some of the best.
The little plug and the socket, do they actually fit together?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's part of the game
design.
That's
intentional. Okay, wonderful.
there's so much to look forward to.
Yeah, I've got a little list here as well. I mean, I want to double up on Joyride. We got a little prototype in that spiel, and that was great fun, just a couple of tiles, right?
Yeah.
Remember that? With Rebellion Unplugged?
Absolutely brilliant.
And hopefully we'll go speak to the guys again from Rebellion Unplugged at UKGE, because I'm excited about going there again.
Oh, yeah, I'm seeking them.
So
out for sure.
I've already pre-booked the accommodation. So
this is how the world works, according to Wayne. Before UKGE this year, he was asking if we wanted to go to Essen.
Yes.
To which I replied, I don't know, I've not been to the first one yet.
I think while we were still in Germany, Wayne was trying to book accommodation for UKGE.
We literally landed and we went, I booked somewhere in Birmingham. tickets are on sale for UKGE next
year.
They are now.
They're out on sale
we
now.
We know a bunch of people have already bought it. I think Jason, James and Paul from Meeple Minded are already booked in.
Let me know if you're not coming. I'll have to fill up the spaces.
Oh, no. I would love to go. Yeah.
Good. I don't think I couldn't come.
it's going to be great fun anyway. Alongside that, which will obviously be amazing, I've got Fractal Beyond the Void, which is basically kind of like Eclipse, kind of like TI4. It's a Space 4X game, a Euro game, but I think smaller in scope. So I'm very excited about that. Right up my street. It's a beautiful production. So I'm hyper excited.
I really like the art direction.
The art direction of that
is it's sort of abstract, right?
Yeah, kind of abstract.
A little bit
abstract
art game.
Yeah, really lovely. And then probably won't be next year, but if it is, great, and that's Arx. So the Big Letter Games production.
Yeah.
I'm watching it with keen interest because I know it's already changed drastically from when we played
completely
it.
Completely different.
It'll be a fresh learn for me, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. All of us. And I'm dead keen because we did a little preview of that, of the print and play. We did a print and play of the very first rules release, and what's going to be really exciting for us as a team is playing the finished product and going back on the old notes and seeing how it's changed and what they made better. That's going to be fascinating.
Even already you can see how the process is sort of driving it to be updated sort of iteratively, constantly.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. They are constantly tinkering with it to make it as good as it can be. And there are a ton of upcoming releases that I'm thrilled to take a look at that hopefully we'll get a chance to play next year too. But anything else that's popping up, folks?
That message in a bottle from Robinson Crusoe may arrive at some point. Right?
Yeah, it's maybe. Also on the list, the
Eventually.
Robinson Crusoe, the new collector's edition with Awakened Realms. Hopefully, got it well over a year late. I think it's a long old.
That's got to hurt.
It sucks, mate, but it is what it is. So it's the Kickstarter risk that you take. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Portal Games with Awakened
Realms.
Vanguard
was nearly a year late.
There you go. It's Awakened Realms, I have to say. But
I think for the most part, I've been lucky / cautious enough with the short number of Kickstarters I've gone with that they've either been early or expectedly in a bracket of lateness.
Yeah.
But all good. It's nice to see stuff you're so enthused about that you're like, yeah, I'm in first.
Yeah, I want to go and do that. I want that now. So, and I'm going to back it and get all the extra bits of it because I want to do it. But one that I just want to give a special commendation for coming, I think, both ahead of schedule and at a ridiculously affordable price in a limited print run, is Block by Block, which is actually a really wonderful little cooperative game. Fun. It didn't make the list, but I need to play it more, firstly. But also, just props for being an independent, tiny designer, publisher, combo.
Okay.
That have released something that was at a really great available price, accessible and on time.
And brutally difficult.
Oh my God, it kicked our ass.
Yeah, brutally difficult. but great. And, you know, just shows what you can do with limited resources and that some of these big publishers should probably try and learn from. Sometimes simpler is better.
Mm.
That's it.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah.
That's it. That's the end of the year.
That's 2020.
No more 2022.
What year, though?
Yeah.
It's been a cracking year for us.
I hope you listeners have picked up some cool recommendations to go looking for. If you are local to us, so Crawley, Horsham, Sussex generally, you fancy playing a game, sadly our local comic shop where everyone hung out to play games has unfortunately shuttered. But we do have every Monday, almost without fail, in Tilgate, the Crawley game community run by Jason.
Yep.
Come play some games with us.
Yeah.
We've generally got a space at the table, or if we don't, someone else will, or drop us a note and we'll see if we're available. We'll come play some things.
Play some games, exactly. We've got one or two in the collection. So.
A few things that we...
A few things knocking about I could probably dig out.
Other than for the risk of damage or missing pieces, I would totally treat my as an open library, but
yeah,
it's just too many precious bits on there, really.
No, listen, dear listener, you're not taking my stuff, but you can come and play your stuff with me. That's fine.
Play with.
I'll take my stuff.
We're part of the hire.
Yeah, exactly. You need to take my stuff, I'm coming with it. I'm sorry. Good. Well, thanks for listening to Bored Stupid all year. Appreciate you. Subscribe to us for updates and to get future episodes of the show delivered directly to your ear holes via your favourite podcast service. You can find us basically anywhere. Look out for more YouTube videos. They're in production right now on some exciting projects. Stick a comment anywhere and talk to us. It's what we like.
We sure do. I like taking the picky pics and putting them online.
Yep. Simon's in charge of our Instagram page. He does a phenomenal job, so please do follow us on Insta, and you definitely should. You can find us just spelled B-O-A-R-D and then stupid, and you'll find us. UK, tack that on the end, but I think we're pretty high up the search list, so I'm just bored stupid. Generally.
If you're listening to us, you can probably see our logo, red and white circle.
You'll see it. Exactly. And with that, have a lovely festive period, and an even better new year, and we'll see you bigger, better, uncut, unplugged, raw.
No, Wayne, we need to keep the mics plugged in.
Maybe plugged
they
in.
They won't hear us if we're not plugged in.
Extreme edition. 2023
with lasers
lasers and sharks. Catch you again real soon.
Thanks for listening, folks. Catch you soon.